From the Gospel according to St. John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At daybreak, he appeared in the temple again, and as all the people came to him, he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and Pharisees brought a woman along who had been caught committing adultery, and making her stand there in full view of everybody, they said to Jesus, "Master, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery, and Moses has ordered us in the law to condemn women like this to death by stoning. What have you to say?" They asked him this as a test, looking for something to use against him. But Jesus bent down and started writing on the ground with his finger. As they persisted with their question, he looked up and said, "If there's one of you who has not sinned, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he bent down and wrote on the ground again. When they heard this, they went away one by one, beginning with the eldest, until Jesus was left alone with the woman, who remained standing there. He looked up and said, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she replied. "Neither do I condemn you," said Jesus. "Go away, and don't sin any more." There was many a time, I suppose as a child, when my companions and I would have got great mimicry and mockery out of this particular passage from the Gospel. The lady was going to be stoned, and that had a totally different meaning for us. Maybe we didn't take it seriously at that stage. And then when we went on to become a student, this Gospel was drawn out quite a lot for us. It was the Gospel that opposed capital punishment. It was the Gospel that spoke of the forgiveness of sexual immorality. It was the Gospel that affirmed the dignity of women. It was the Gospel of all sorts of things of mercy and very, very kind of, how would you put that, you would say a gospel of unbounded mercy, I suppose. As a dreamer, I got to like this gospel quite a lot. A few days ago, we had a story of Christ with another adulterous woman, but this other woman he met at a well. And this was one as at the water, and now the second one is at the rock. Whereas water can be a sign of life, it is also an element of destruction far more powerful than any other force on earth. We saw that with recent disasters, with tsunamis in both Japan and throughout Southeast Asia. And though rock is a word of stability, it breaks, it gets crumbled, eroded, and becomes like dust. We were fashioned from dust. Our characters, just like rock, can be solid or they can decay, and we can let them decay. We can be moral, we can be immoral, we can be hard as granite, or we can be as gentle as sand. And just as the Jews in Jesus' time despised sexual immortality, we too have very low opinions of people who digress from the beaten path. We use strong words, which we fling like the rocks at this poor lady's judges. We call out words like pervert, deviant, miscreant. Anybody who offends sexually is always regarded as far worse, and yet we were the people who built them up. We build people up, then we delight in pulling them down just because they have transgressed sexually. We don't worry if they transgress too much in other areas, but if it's sexual, we become almost interested. Almost makes you ask, let the person who is without sin be the first to take a job writing in a tabloid. As Catholics, we have always treasured the image of St. Peter, though, as a rock. Firm, dependable, reliant, secure, and the certain foundation of our faith. Maybe it would do us no harm to simply stand back from this image and remember that Christ didn't write on rock. He wrote in the dust. The story drops a kind of, I suppose, a humbling challenge on the marble desks of those of us that think we're so great. Is Christ really the prophet of mercy? Do those of us who bear his name echo in any way that mercy in our own world? Or have the winds of time just obliterated the sacred words that he wrote in the dust and replaced the new law written on stone tablets and haughty in itself promulgation? Did Christ die for sinners? If so, did he come to call the virtuous? If so, at the well he called a woman to drink living water. Here today we hear him calling on a woman to taste living mercy. And just as Moses drew living water from the rock, we too must allow the waters of life to flow through the rock that is Peter. That is because we are Peter. And as the old law, carved in stone, gives way to a covenant of mercy that Christ just etched in the sand, may we see the true revolution of mercy that Christ proclaimed. And when we're doing this, we should never forget that it won't be easy. The last people shown mercy in Christ's ministry were the executioners that slew him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. The robber Didymus that died with him. This day you will be with me in paradise. And the murderer Barabbas that was condemned with him. Murderers, executioners, robbers, thieves. Christ's mercy extended to absolutely everybody. If we want to bear the name of Christ and see ourselves worthy of the name that we call upon ourselves when we say we are Christians, we must remember there's a scary absoluteness to its mercy, but one that we're capable of doing. May God give us strength to forgive and not judge. Amen.